A vast, ill-treated place, done sprawled by the River Ray in cosmopolitan confusion and unpredictable subjugation. Savaged and overrun more than any city in Sutzaria, or indeed on Arthen, Dun was peopled by ragmen, gutterwags, nomads, politicians, merchants, and the soldiers of whichever nation held power there at any given time. It was a city of towering, scarred architecture, dusty grey parks, and long, hedonistic nights. It existed for trade, was sick in its heart because of this. The impoverished were drawn to Dun, motivated by the false hope that it might deliver them into wealth, transform them into creatures of cunning, devoid of weak-minded morality. But it grazed on the poor, its streets littered with their bones. Dun was, however, a survivor amongst cities. It was ancient, and at its centre an Ornish temple still stood impassively. No invader would completely lay waste to it on account of its prime plot. It was the gateway into Sutzaria and Aetoland from the continent. Its trade halls were huge, generating vast revenue. It was essential to all that it be maintained, at least in the districts where fortunes were being created. Cherry liked Dun. She had taken on many commissions there. It was a city that thrilled her, appealed to her damaged nature. The rubble of Dun's recently breached walls bit unevenly upward through the ground like an enormous man-trap. The poverty and death permeating the outskirts safeguarded the inner city, driving many away. Walking northward up Prospect Place, Cherry noted huge pyres of smouldering human debris, belching malignant black clouds in the shadowy twilight. Packs of masterless dogren, feathers tattered, colourless with dust, their spherical eyes refracting morsels of light, fought for gruesome titbits to swell cadaverous shanks. A wide avenue, Prospect Place, ran alongside the Great Union Canal, upon the putrid, foamy waters of which barges ferried the city's shit and debris. The grand, cloistered houses, which ran along the opposite side of the rutted, sucking road, were, without exception, windowless. Small splutters of wan light hinted at pockets of life within. Above, upon the few hundred span-high columns that still remained standing, were the lifeless, mottled green husks of the Machiavaria. Cherry recalled how they had once been the envy of Arthen. Cast in bronze, they were made in the image of a four-headed Leonid, each head facing outwards from the centre. Lazarus Machiavarius had found a means by which energy could be harnessed, increased exponentially, and put to good use throughout the city. He initially discovered that lightning could be employed to generate light. By containing the power it produced within a tantric sphere, he could light one room for up to 12 days. Eventually, columns topped with Leonid-headed Machiavaria, as they became known, were placed strategically all over Dun, adhering to the ley lines and coordinated with other geographical energy fields located above and beneath the city. Lazarus Machiavarius, taking the principles of the tantric sphere and applying them to what he named tantric tubes, etherwork tunnels, linked up the Machiavaria in a huge network above Dun. The city blazed into light, and for 2 centuries Dun traded day and night, never sleeping, basking in the glow of the Machiavaria.